how would you best prepare St. Louis audiences for a performance of Bach's Christmas Oratorio?
Traditionally, orchestras tend to do Messiah every year at this time. And what is kind of funny about that is that Messiah is actually an Easter story. It does contain large portions of the Christmas story in it, but the large portion of it is really Easter material. And Christmas Oratorio is actually much more appropriate for us to be doing at this time of year because it focuses on the stories we tell in church at this time of year and celebrates the birth of Jesus. So St. Louis is actually really lucky this year to have this opportunity to hear it.
It actually follows the text. As I was sitting there translating some weeks ago, it was following the exact text of what I grew up reading every year in church. It's a text we already, a lot of us in a Protestant denomination, are already familiar with due to the familiarity of the text and the story. I think it's a very original way to approach the Christmas season.
Does this work come your way very often?
Shockingly enough, this is my first time doing it. Many people are often surprised because I sing a lot of Bach and I sing a lot of the Passions specifically and B minor Mass, which I did last time I was here, or which we did last time we were here.
Mm-hmm.
So it should come my way a bit more often, but it hasn't yet for some reason. Part of the problem is that in the States, we don't do it so much. We tend to do Messiah instead around this time of year. If we were living in Germany, I probably would have done a lot more of these because they tend to do thousands upon thousands of them in Germany at this time of year.
Well, much like Mary, I'm a virgin with this piece. So singing this part, actually, it's from a lot of the perspective of Mary, what I sing. So I can relate to her a lot. It's all very new to me, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous.
You did both sing the Bach Mass in B minor in April of 2012, and you both do sing a lot of Bach. Is there a special preparation that you have for this piece particularly?
I approach Bach like I approach anything else. I mean, generally, if there are things to listen to, I like to listen to it a little bit before I sit down with it. I like to hear some different perspectives on it. But at the end of the day, you sit down and you sort through the music and you find what speaks to you within the text, within the harmony, and you form it from there. And then you really only find your answers when you show up and you collaborate and you take on what David Robertson is offering to you, what the musicians of the orchestra are offering. And Bach, I think, very specifically allows for a real chamber music experience, in fact. Even though you are with the big orchestra, it feels like chamber music. It's very intimate, and it's very exposed as well.
With Bach, in general, I have to allot a lot of extra time because I, as a tenor, generally have a unique responsibility in these oratorios like the Passions and Christmas Oratorio, and that I have to deliver the text of the gospel in German. And Bach was an extremely faithful religious man, and he signed every work at the end with the initials SDG, which means Soli Deo Gloria, all for the glory of God. So he was a person of great faith, and in his manuscripts, actually, he would write in the text of the Gospels in red ink. So I feel like when looking at these recitative settings, his settings of the Gospel, there's a lot of thought and a lot of care put into it, and oftentimes they're extremely complex and extremely tricky. So I always have to allot a lot of extra time to really figure out what he was intending and how he wanted to tell the story, because he has very specific ideas, even though there may be just a few notes on the page. Each one means a lot, and it takes time to let those things sink in. So I would have to say that when it comes to pieces like the Christmas Oratorio and Bach in general, I have to give it a little extra time.
Well, not only that, you have a killer aria in this. I want to know how many bruises you have on your head from, like, banging your head against the wall learning this aria. It is.
Can you talk a little
intense.
Bit about that?
Yeah, my one aria is really, it's fast.
Where is it in the piece?
It's in the second cantata. It's actually at the middle point of the piece, practically. Mm-hmm. And it is the moment in which the angels are saying to the shepherds, hurry and go see this baby in this manger, because he is our Savior. And it starts off quite pleasant and really beautiful with the flute. And then when it gets to the part of the aria where I'm talking about hurry and go refresh your souls and your hearts with the vision of this baby, The words hurry and refresh have a lot of extremely fast notes. Bach chose to sort of paint the text in the music that way by putting a lot of black notes on the page. And the first time I looked at the aria, I thought, can I sing that fast? And actually, the aria has taught me a lot. I mean, I did not know I could sing that fast, and it turns out that I can. So it's been kind of fun, actually, to put together and learn and work into my voice. It's been a fun challenge.
And thankfully, you've got a very nice conductor who is very well aware of how you start the aria, because once you start the aria, you're sort of stuck in a tempo. So I think Bach, Handel, it's very similar. Once you start with that tempo, you're pretty locked in. And that can be scary when you realize it's really either too fast or too slow. And it all comes down to the voice. It's really characterized by the voice.
Is there a part in the oratorio that you especially, Kate, just either love or adore or go, oh boy, I really have to?
You know, I'm fortunate. I sing three arias, but none of them have what Nick has had to face. I'll say that. But probably in truth, the second aria, Schlafe, mein Liebster, it's the lullaby that Mary is singing to Jesus. I think I'm turned on by fragility in music. That's something that gets me curious, it gets me excited, because I think there's nothing more interesting than hearing and watching and observing fragility, vulnerability, humanity, insecurity, because I think that's actually where we all live. I just find it to be a really beautiful moment of intimacy between mother and child, and to be able to appreciate that moment, knowing what lies ahead for this child in his life, is quite moving.
So, does Bach really create a character for you?
That's a good question. I think he does create the character through the music. Interestingly enough, the text that you find within your arias, it's quite brief. You just repeat the text over and over. When you repeat the text, you can inflect the words themselves, but also you can trust very deeply that Bach has provided it for you, and the way he adjusts the rhythms, he adjusts the emphasis on things to bring new meaning out. So truthfully, I try not to over-intellectualize that aspect of it and trust in what he wrote. And then as you collaborate, you're always finding things. Just based on David's movement, you find something new for yourself.
What does David bring to Bach?
Gosh, he knows everything.
I was going to say, he brings a great intellect to it, and he brings a great passion for it, actually.
And humor. Yes. He actually brings humor to it, and that's important, because classical music is not necessarily supposed to be all serious and over-intellectualized, too. He makes it real for us now. This description yesterday he had for the orchestra of a baby yawning. He wanted the orchestra to play as if you feel the beginning of that yawn that happens, and then it swells. And they responded to that. He's able to personalize it.
It's pretty clear he has a great passion for this music. It's so exciting to see. People tend to look at Bach very academically. You could do that for years and a whole lifetime. In fact, some people have. Many people have. With that, he brings great enthusiasm and great passion for the music. It's really wonderful to see a leader up there who is just enjoying himself so much.
Do you guys think he could do a sitcom called Nick and Kate?
Would anyone want to watch that? I don't know.
I would.
I think we totally could.
I have a question for you, though, because you sing more Bach than I do. My experiences with Bach have been here in St. Louis, really. Breathing, I find, in the arias. It's interesting how Bach composes all of it, because it's these long, 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 long lines. And I'm always curious to ask other singers, how do you sort of manipulate the breath? Because when you find that right tempo, how do you find those moments where you can really breathe and tank up and then keep going? Because that's my biggest challenge with Bach.
He writes really instrumentally. It is a challenge at times. It's something that I actually find quite natural, because I grew up playing Bach violin concertos. Mm-hmm. So the musical syntax to me is quite, it makes a lot of sense. And so I always just sort of fit in the breath where I can, but I really try not to let it interrupt the line too much. I mean, sometimes there are times where you can actually take the time and you can sort of impose that time on what he's written, because he's sort of harmonically created that space, even though maybe rhythmically on the page it doesn't look like that. I mean, there is a flexibility to his music. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just have to do...
Very quick breath.
Very quick breath. My teacher calls it ghost breath.
Yeah.
Where it's as if you've seen a ghost for 1 second and you quickly inhale, you kind of gasp for a second. Mm. Although it's not really a gasp, because gasping is not helpful.
If we could totally have like the Back to the Future machine, I would love to be able to go back and listen to people singing this repertoire when it was composed. This, Mozart, I mean, all of it. I would love to hear the voices when the composer was living, and just to know how it was produced then, to know what that sound was. Because I'm sure it was very different.
I wonder how good it was. I mean, they were doing this every week. He was writing these pieces every week. I cannot imagine.
It's a composing machine.
But I can't imagine as a musician. You show up to work every day and you learn a piece of Bach every week. I mean, it sounds like it would be really fun, but it must have been really awful at times, especially because you'd have to perform it at 9 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want to perform Bach at 9 in the morning.